Wow. Good evening and God bless. Welcome to this wonderful fellowship. For those of you who are interested, I entitled my teaching, It's a Wonderful Life. And it is. And I'd like to start in a very familiar verse of scripture, one we all probably know by heart, in the Gospel of John. Chapter 10. John 10:10. Who knows it off the top of their head? Never mind. It's a verse of scripture that literally changed my life. John chapter 10 and verse 10. It says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And this verse sets the great conflict that exists in the world today. The devil's only purpose, his only motivation, his only itinerary is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But on the other hand, Jesus Christ said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And the word life there is the word Zoe, which means life in all of its manifestations. It is life that has its beginning or has its source in God. So that includes spiritual life, it includes the physical life, it includes plant life, any kind of life that exists in the world today that has its source in God is what's included in the word Zoe. And it says in this verse that Jesus Christ came to destroy the advances of the adversary. He said, "I am come that they might have life in every category and that they might have it not just abundantly, but more abundantly." If we turn to Acts chapter 10, and in verse 38, when Peter was at the house of the Cornelius, the first Gentiles that were born again, in Acts 10:38, it says, in Acts 10:38, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of who?
The devil.
For God was with him." And it's interesting in this verse that says God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. The anointing was an external thing. Talks about it in the Old Testament a lot. Kings were anointed. Jesus Christ was anointed with the Spirit. So he did not have the Spirit living within him. He had it on him on a condition. But fortunately, he always did the will of the Father. But in our case, since we're born again, we have the Spirit living within us. And we have eternal life. We have the complete deliverance that Jesus Christ came to make available for us. In 1 Peter 1:23, you don't have to go there, it says we're born again of incorruptible seed. Nothing can take it away. And it's eternal and everlasting. That's why in the gathering together, we'll be gathered together and have all eternity because of the incorruptible seed, that Christ within us. It's God and Christ in us, and we are complete in him. And speaking of a wonderful life, if we look at 2 Peter, toward the back of your Bible, 2 Peter, chapter 1, and starting in verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." And that's a pretty interesting statement. Grace and peace can be multiplied to us. Who knows what grace is? Dear?
Unmerited divine favor.
Right. It's unmerited. You don't do anything to deserve it or work for it. It's grace. It's unmerited. And peace, of course, we all know what peace is. It's the absence of strife. It's undisturbed believing. And here in 2 Peter, it says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. And it's multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us some measly mouthed things now and again.
No.
No. He's given to us all things that pertain unto life, that word Zoe again, and godliness. Godliness is a true vital spiritual relationship with God. And if you look into a lexicon, it says it's the opposite of religion. So you think about that for a minute. God has given us all things that pertain to life in every category, and godliness, that true vital spiritual relationship with him, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us, here we go again, exceeding great and precious promises. They're not just promises, not mealy-mouthed things, but they're exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So, the corruption in the world, we just found out previously, that's because of the adversary. And it says in this verse 4 that we have escaped, or having escaped. It's already done. It's a done deal. We've escaped the corruption that's in the world. And it's because of our the exceeding great and precious promises that we have, our true vital spiritual relationship with the Father. Because of that, we can escape the corruption that is in the world. If we go to 1 Peter, just back a book, 1 Peter in chapter 2, and in verse 23, talking about Jesus Christ. No, verse 24, I'm sorry. Verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead unto sin should live unto righteousness. What is righteousness?
Just as if he's our sin.
Righteousness is our ability to stand before God without any sense of sin, guilt, condemnation, shortcomings. We're righteous before him. And it's because of what Jesus Christ accomplished in his death and resurrection. We should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were what?
Healed.
You were healed. It's a done deal. God already considers it complete. You were healed. So, if we look at Hebrews, just back a book, Hebrews chapter 4, talking about a wonderful life. Because of our righteousness, because we can stand before God without any sense of guilt or shortcoming or condemnation. Verse 16, chapter 4, verse 16 says, let us there come how? Boldly, right, boldly. Because we're righteous. We can do that. We have the ability to do that. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. What's mercy? Mercy is withholding merited judgment. When you do something contrary to the word, you don't get slammed over the head with a sledgehammer. You have mercy. It's withholding merited punishment. That we may obtain mercy and find grace, unmerited divine favor. That's kind of like the opposite. You know, you don't need to earn it or work for it. Have mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So God's always available to us to take care of our needs, to be our sufficiency. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by the adversary for 40 days, he confessed what the Word said. Every time the situation arose, he was confronted with a negative by the devil or an opportunity to go against God's Word, go against His will. He always responded with, "It is written." He went to the Word. He sought the answer from the Word. And in James 4:7, it says, "Resist the devil and he will
flee
from you." Right. Resist the devil. And the way we resist is the way Jesus Christ did, with the Word of God. In Romans 12:2, it says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And what do you renew your mind to? The Word. Right. That's what Jesus did. That's what we should do also. And we can come boldly to the throne of grace. We can claim those precious promises that God made available to us. And we can have the deliverance because it's already a done deal. Jesus Christ accomplished it for us. When you talk about a wonderful life, 3 John 2 is a good spot to start. 3 John 2. Who knows? These are all refrigerator verses, people. 3 John 2. "Beloved, I wish above all things, say it, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." Right? Very good. "That thou mayest prosper." To prosper means to be led in the good way. And when you think back to 1 Peter, he's given us exceeding great and precious promises in his Word. That's being led in the good way. "That thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." We all know what being in health means. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we'll just run through some of these verses. I'm sure you all know by heart. 2 Corinthians 9:8. "And God is able to make all grace," there's that word again, grace. "God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye having" what? "All sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." And the context of this verse, having all sufficiency in all things, the context of it is in giving. If you look up in verse 6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth" what? "A cheerful giver." And because of this, because of your giving and doing it out of a cheerful heart, "God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work." You can jump over the parentheses there. "Being rich in everything," verse 11, "to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God." So there's two great keys here for the wonderful life: giving and being thankful. Giving and being thankful. If we look at Luke chapter 6, Gospel of Luke chapter 6, verse And in verse 38, talking about giving again. Verse 38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Sounds like Corinthians. He that soweth sparingly will reap sparingly. He who soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. And here it says, with the same measure that ye meet withal, shall be measured to you again. So the great principle is giving. You know, it takes your foot off the hose from God. It allows that abundance to flow through you from Him. And it also says that men shall give into your bosom. You know, God works in situations. God works in the hearts of people. God makes things happen. If you have a prayer, if you have a need, it doesn't fall from the sky into your lap. But God will set things in motion so that you'll have what you need when you need it. It's pretty cool. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And verse 6. Another very familiar verse of Scripture. Verse 6. Be careful for nothing. The word careful means?
Anxious.
Anxious, right. Anxious. The word anxious comes from anxiety. You have a lot of anxiety. It says don't have anxiety. Don't be anxious. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, there's thanksgiving again, let your requests be made known unto God. Prayer is important, and supplication, with thanksgiving. It says not to be anxious. And one thing that's great to remember is that a delay in an answer to prayer. Sometimes you don't always get what you need when you think you need it right at the moment you pray for it. Sometimes it takes a little while for things to happen. But a delay in an answer to prayer is not a discarding or a denial of your prayer. God knows what you need. God will take care of you in His time. So don't be anxious for it. Just stay with a believing heart and mind. Philippians 4:13, while we're in the area, says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can do all things according to the Word of God. The context there, the meaning there is all things according to the Word. We have great and precious promises. We can acquire those in our life. You are what the Word of God says you are, and you have what the Word of God says you have. And you can do what the Word of God says you do. Can do. Sometimes the need is ability. Like you want to be a better witnesser. You want to be better at the manifestations. You want to be better in family relationships or things going on in your job. You want to be the best at what you're required to do. Sometimes it's school, doing schoolwork. God can, you study your heart out for a test. God can remind you of the answers when it's time to take the test. You put forth an earnest effort, believe God will help you. You can do it. You have the Spirit of God living within you. He can remind you and help you along. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. 4:19. But my God shall supply what? All your need, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God will supply all your need. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. It's a wonderful life if God supplies all your need. Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 31. God supplies all your need. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. God knows your need before you do. He knows what you need before it even comes as a thought in your brain. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Righteousness again. To be able to go before him. And expect to receive. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. All these things. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And in verse 20, talking about Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in believing, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded, you know, we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, to be fully persuaded that what he had promised, he's promised us all things that pertain to life and godliness, he was able also to perform. God's willingness equals his ability. In Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We have the ability to operate the manifestations. We have the Spirit of God living within us. We can speak in tongues. If we don't know what to do in a particular situation, we can just lift it to God in prayer by speaking in tongues. We could pray with our understanding, but the Spirit also maketh intercession. And then in verse 37, it says, for I am persuaded. That's a great key right there. For a wonderful life, I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor principalities nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come. Oh, 37. Nay, and all these things were more than conquerors through him that loved us. That's the one I was looking for. We are more than conquerors in all these things. So, in Numbers 23:19, we can go there because it's a great one, but I don't want to just recite it. Numbers 23:19. There are three keys that we should just really be cognizant of when it comes to our life with the Father. And in Numbers 23:19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie. He's given us exceeding great and precious promises. Neither the Son of Man that he should repent. He's not sorry that he did it. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? So that's the first key, that God does not lie. He'll always do what his word says he'll do. In Malachi 3:6 it says, God doesn't change. I am the Lord, I change not. And in Acts 10:34, it says that God is no respecter of persons. So there you have it. He doesn't lie, he doesn't change, and he doesn't care who you are in terms of some people are better than others. All of his kids are equal in his sight, and all of them can stand before him righteous. God's willingness and his ability is the same toward all of his kids. As we walk with our Heavenly Father, it truly is a wonderful life. God bless. I love you. You are the best.